Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 7th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott, joined right now by Chris Hummer, national college football reporter, writer, analyst for 24/7 Sports, budding video star, frequent podcast guest. Chris Hummer, thanks for jumping on with me. College football spring games are heating up. We had Clemson last week, got a few more this week. Going gets really good. April weekend of April 17th, Ohio State and a few other big powers. And I wanted to take that backdrop as a good opportunity to talk about the transfer portal, which has been so busy in basketball, as you and I both know, and a little bit slower in football, which I'm sure for you is a welcome change ahead of what will likely be a busy May of transfer portal action.
Yeah, May with a question mark is a good way to put it. I would say the transfer portal has slowed down significantly. We were averaging well over 100 entries per week from about mid-December to, I want to say mid-February, maybe early February, but easily over 100, some weeks 200. So on February 25th, we were at 1,759 players in the transfer portal. So over the last essentially month and a half since then, 1,942. Sorry, I also have a little bit of brain mush. But that's about 150 in a month and a half. So it has slowed significantly. A big part of that is the exoduses that were happening after the season were over complete. But we're in a bit of a lull right now as spring's going on. But as you said, May is going to be a time where we start to see this really pick up again. And we already are in some ways as players kind of figure out where they are on the depth chart. Opt to leave, maybe you're a little unhappy with coaching changes, unhappy with scheme changes, as schools frankly kind of cut bait with players they want to kind of shed roster-wise to clear up roster spots. Like there's going to be a lot of movement in late April and kind of early May with that. So it'll certainly kick into gear soon.
And you mentioned the other day on a call that there is the expectation that next week we'll see the one-time transfer exception passed by the NCAA.
Yeah, that's the expectation. And that's, I think, like, it's going to be made to be a momentous rule change for college football and for college athletics as a whole. And it certainly is. It will allow a player once in their career to transfer without having to sit out the year in residence penalty, essentially, that the NCAA mandates for underclassmen or non-graduate transfers, which will be huge because it means everybody in the transfer portal this year will be eligible to play right away at their new school, which is what the expectation was all offseason and is why we saw transfers happen in record numbers this offseason. But in terms of projecting forward, I don't really think that's going to change the number of players going into the portal later. I think we already saw a lot of that movement occur. And while there might be a few more players trickling in, I don't think we're going to see like a rush after that kind of policy is enacted by the NCAA, which is the expectation next week as the Division I Council meets.
And just to be clear, this has nothing to do with COVID. Like the transfer exception is not the same thing as your freebie senior year in a COVID year. This is going to be a commonplace rule now throughout college football going forward, which means that your spring and your tough, brutal, long winter of covering the transfer portal, that's not the exception. That's now the rule, unless there is a player movement that where they decide transferring is not as great as they think. But this is going to apply going forward in college football.
Absolutely. Different than a COVID waiver for sure. What it means, basically boiled down, is every player gets 5 years of eligibility in college football. And now every player, once in their career during that 5 years, will be allowed to transfer without penalty of having to sit out a season wherever they want. There are still some kind of sticking points with interconference transfer rules. I believe the NCAA's rule set will override kind of some of the conferences in this case. At least that's the expectation talking to like one or two people in the Big 12, which has a pretty putative interconference transfer rule. So if that's the case, every single transfer will be eligible to play right away once in their career. So it's a pretty significant shift, and it's the closest thing I think we'll ever see to a free agency type thing happen in college football, because there's going to be so many players moving every offseason. And it'll be really interesting ultimately to see who it helps the most. Is it going to help kind of the power programs kind of poaching kids from smaller schools, or are going to is it going to help smaller schools or G5 schools kind of poaching players that are really talented who didn't maybe fit in on the Power 5 level and bringing them down to the G5? So it's going to be a really compelling thing to follow the next couple of years as the stand kind of finishes sifting.
Yeah. And when you say they have 5 years, you just mean they have 5 years to play for, barring a medical hardship. And in the case of Sam Ellinger, you probably had like 10 years to play eight. It's felt like. So let's go back to the portal. I was looking through it the other day, and it really feels like the best players have been picked up at most positions. Now, Eric Gilbert, he's leaving Florida. I'm not sure if he was ever really there. And he's got, you know, I talked about this with Rusty Manziel the other week. So he's got some things to figure out. Eric Gilbert does. So, you know, he's not really the same thing as a Henry To'oto, who's probably waiting on the SEC to declare whether interconference transfers would be allowed. But for the most part, with the exception of those two and a few other guys who have popped up recently, Georgia's got Tyke Smith, the West Virginia safety. He's already off the board. It seems like these guys are making their decisions. And the reason I went to look the other day at the quarterback room in the transfer portal was because Clemson lost its backup to an Achilles injury. And I just talked to Anna Hickey about the Tigers, and I was kind of interested in that situation. I went to look, and it's like, you know, there's really not much. Like, even Terry Wilson, I believe, is going to New Mexico. So am I correct here? It's pretty slim pickings at this point, barring new injuries.
Yeah, I mean, like, Joe Milton's still in the transfer portal, the former Michigan starting quarterback. But yeah, I think all of our top 50 is accounted for, except for Eric Gilbert, Henry To'oto, and Peleke Toe from USC. I might have butchered his name, so I apologize for that one. But yeah, that's all gone. And we're going to see players slowly trickle into the portal. And I think talking to a couple coaches, the expectation is, especially at a position like QB, we're going to see a couple players unhappy with their situation in spring ball and kind of pop into the portal. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think like a place like LSU is a really interesting place to watch, with Miles Brennan trying to hold on to his job with two really promising sophomores going. I know there are a couple coaches following that situation closely, and there are going to be other situations like it across college football. But for the most part, outside of maybe like a situation like Landon Dickerson a couple of years ago, he went kind of late in the spring when he opted to transfer from Florida State, at least for good. We're not going to see a ton of like program changing movement this offseason. For the most part, starters have already been kind of settled, and we're going to kind of see that occur. I think the one interesting part of it might be super seniors. There's a lot of super seniors right now back for the spring, and coaching staffs are kind of making the decisions who they want to keep, who they don't want to keep. Super seniors are kind of deciding to decide if they want to play their final year at that school, if they're going to move on. So we might see some really interesting kind of upperclassmen enter the portal that might be a little unexpected. So that'll be something to follow for sure.
And you hit on something there too. The spring can see transfers happen that you otherwise like wouldn't expect. So last February, you might not have looked at Trey Sermon and said he's a candidate to transfer last February. But then the first week of March, Master Teague, the presumed Ohio State running back, suffers an Achilles injury. 2 weeks later, Trey Sermon enters the transfer portal after we spent 2 weeks talking about Ohio State is badly in need of a transfer running back. I'm certainly not saying there was any tampering. That's not at all.
Tampering doesn't happen in college football, Trey. I don't know what you would even be referring to there.
No, players don't get contacted until they officially hit the portal. No,
absolutely not.
I don't want to get Ohio State fans mad at me. So I'm literally not suggesting that. I'm just saying, if you're a quarterback out there, Chris, you know, and you see the injury to Tyson Pumanchon, that at the Clemson backup, that's like, okay, you know, I could go be a backup there. And hopefully he's the only notable injury that we have throughout spring, but he probably won't be. So it is interesting to see there won't just be transfers of guys going, hey, I finished spring, I tried really hard, but I'm still fifth on the depth chart, and I don't want to be fifth. I'd like to at least be third. And then there's going to be stars who, you know, might not be loving their situation and might have a place where they can upgrade, which is hard to upgrade from Oklahoma. To upgrade from being the co-running back at Oklahoma is pretty tough to do, Chris. But when a place like Ohio State has an opening for the sole number one spot, that is an upgrade.
I mean, these conversations happen all the time with players being unhappy. I believe you talked to Shea Dixon about Eli Ricks' situation, both this offseason and last fall. There were rumors that Eli might enter the transfer portal because he was unhappy, and he was in the perfect situation at LSU, at least on the surface. So this can happen at any point in the calendar, which is why the transfer portal is always interesting. And I would point out there are even situations sometimes, and we saw that this year, especially with kind of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten looking like they're going to sit out, that players like at the beginning of fall camp might opt to transfer and end up playing elsewhere. Texas Tech had quite a few defensive players in a very similar situation like that in 2020. So like the transfer portal never sleeps. And while we won't see kind of the rushing rapids that we did in December and January in terms of pure numbers, there are always going to be a few players trickling in here and there. And a lot of situations, and in some situations like with Tyke Smith, they could be really high profile players doing so that are just looking for kind of a fresh situation.
Have there been any players in the last 2 weeks that, and I don't know how you do it, when you learn per your sources out there in the transfer portal, any holy curse word ball moments recently? I mean, hey, you had that one night where all the Tennessee guys entered, but, and you can be honest, Chris, I don't think there's been any stop what you're doing, this guy just entered the transfer portal moments in a few weeks now.
No, we haven't had any bombs in a while. Like Smith was a big one. I think he's like a potential kind of All-American candidate at West Virginia this year, which was a huge deal for that market. But when we're talking like nationally, like games that just make you stop, names that make you stop and pause, no, we haven't had that in a little bit. I think Taj Washington, who transferred from Memphis to USC, was a huge surprise kind of around Memphis, but he's not really a national name at this point. And other than that, yeah, it's been a little while since we've had kind of a bomb drop in the transfer portal. So I'm sure one or two are coming. That always happens. And there are certainly some names out there we're watching and keeping an eye on. But
it's possible that your dog was letting you know that there's someone in the transfer portal too. No, I'm just kidding.
Chewy does like to keep up with the portal, so it makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's really all you do is look at the portal. And then thematically, Chris, it does seem recently like Washington is just suffering portal loss after portal loss. Marquise Spiker had another receiver, Osborne, enter the portal. Puka Nacua earlier entered the portal and he's transferring. Are you concerned about them? I'll give you some time to pull that up. But that seems to me, we always do portal winners and losers. It seems like the Huskies recently have been bleeding out a bit.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing so much talk about Sam Heward at Washington this offseason, the true freshman five-star coming in. We saw Dylan Morris like be very okay last year as a redshirt freshman, but I think it's been since 2016, since Washington's had a top 40 passing attack nationally. And I think we're seeing some of these receivers kind of leave the program as a result of that. Like, they did not want to lose Puka Nacua. I think he's a guy that a lot of our kind of guys or scouts at 24/7 still view as a day one or day two pick if he gets things kind of rolling. Ty Jones was an elite recruit coming out of high school. Marquise Spiker was an elite recruit coming out of high school. Austin Osborne was a four-star recruit. All of them have left the program without making a huge impact kind of during their tenure. And I think that's both a little bit of as a result of them not succeeding at Washington, which is partially on them, but it's also kind of a result of Washington not being a really appealing place for receivers. And I think we're seeing kind of the results of that right now in the transfer portal. They had to go get a guy like Jalen Polk from Texas Tech, adding him to the roster through the transfer portal. But it's going to be difficult for Washington to recruit these kind of elite skill players if that offense doesn't show signs of life soon, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. As we wrap up, I was just going through our positions by positions in the 24/7 Sports transfer portal. There is a noticeable, you mentioned the linebackers, two of our top three linebackers have not made a decision. There is an Alabama crystal ball for Henry Toto. And then the Clemson cornerback, Darion Kendrick, who transferred, and we gave him a rating of 94 as our top cornerback. He has not chosen a destination yet. It seemed when he entered, there might be a who's who of schools after him. I remember Georgia was in the mix, Ohio State. And when I say in the mix, you know, rumors, but then he was, it came out that he had been arrested earlier too. So,
yeah, I mean, I did a lot of reporting on Darion Kendrick originally. It was Georgia, Florida, Texas talked to him a little bit. There are quite a few schools kind of in the mix for him, but yeah, I think a lot of that interest has waned after he was arrested on, I believe. I don't want to speculate, but he was arrested during that process. And I know it took kind of a lot of the interest away from him, from a lot of these kind of top schools.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that, hey, as we wrap this up, that used to be, you know, I don't want to hamper Darion Kendrick here, but the red flags used to be like the only thing associated with the transfer, Chris. It was, oh, you sure you want him? There's a reason he transferred. And now it's, you look through this portal and for the most part, there's really no good reason that most of these players transferred other than to be a little bit happier and more secure in their college football home, which I love, big advocate for. I know it's a little bit dizzying right now. I feel bad for our basketball guys. I'm glad that you have a little bit of a break, but it seems like you're think you got a vacation coming up, and then it seems like the portal's gonna be back in action.
It'll be waiting for me. Looking forward to it.
All right, Chris Hummer, thank you for joining us. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Chris_Hummer. I am going to be in trouble, Chris, if I don't do this master's plug, and I'm excited to do it. So we're going to read it right now. And after the plug, you're going to tell us who you've got winning the master's. Okay. So Sounds good. Think about it. And I think and I'll tell you who my pick is too. I think it'll be worthwhile because this is one of the best weeks of the year. And it's obviously Masters Week. And that means CBS Sports HQ is your home for round the clock coverage from Augusta. That includes tournament picks, round by round matchups, highlights, leaderboard updates. And we even have our pal from the First Cut podcast, Oklahoma State superfan Kyle Porter, on site providing up to the minute updates so you'll know everything there is to know from Augusta. If you're wondering what CBS Sports HQ is, it's our 24/7, 365 days a year sports news network. How do you get it? It's easy and it's free. Just go to cbssports.com, the CBS Sports mobile app, or fire up the CBS Sports app on your connected TV and watch yourself become the most in-the-know sports fan on your group text. Chris, on the count of three, we're going to say who we have winning it, okay?
All right, sounds good.
No, we're not actually going to do that. I don't want it to be annoying, but who do you got?
I will go with Justin Thomas. I think he's been playing really good golf the last 6 months. He was a top five finisher at the Masters back when it was played in November. I love his game. I think he's one of the most consistent players in the world. It's tempting to pick DJ again. I picked him in November when he won, and he's hard to kind of go against, but I think I've got Justin Thomas putting on the green jacket.
All right. Well, I got $25 saying Jordan Spieth wins the Masters. I can't.
Oh, that's bold.
It.
That's bold.
Come on. He just won the Valero. He did that the first time he won the Masters. I'm rooting for my former classmate at the University of Texas, and I'm really excited to watch him. Chris Hummer, thanks again for joining us. I like the odds. I would take our picks. Justin Thomas, a little bit of Dustin Johnson, and Jordan Spieth against the field.
Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, former kind of teenage rivals, by the way. So
they're good friends.
No, they were, but they were on kind of the AJGA circuit at the same time, and they played a lot of golf against each other growing up.
Our producer, Lance Glenn, thanks to Chris Hummer for joining us. I'm Trey Scott. We'll talk to you next time on the College Football Daily.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.